21st of July, 1935. Talk number 67. A visitor, Mr. K.S.N. Iyer of the S.I. Railway, said, "There is a trifling, halting place in my meditation. When I ask myself, who am I, my reasoning proceeds as follows. I see my hand. Who sees it? My eye. How to see the eye? In a mirror. Similarly, to see me there must be a mirror, which is to supply the place of the mirror in me is my question." Maharshi, "Then why do you inquire, who am I? Why do you say you are troubled and so on? You could as well remain quiet. Why do you rise out of your composure?" Devotee, "Inquiring thus helps me to concentrate. Is concentration the only benefit?" Maharshi, "What more do you want? Concentration is the thing. What makes you come out of your quiet?" Devotee, "Because I am drawn out." Maharshi, "Inquiry of who am I means finding the source of the I. When that is found, that which you seek is accomplished." In parentheses, it says, "The gist of Sri Bhagavan's words seems to be that one should make a concerted effort and not give it up baffled with a defeatist mentality." End parentheses. Talk number 68. Dr. Radhakamal Mukherjee, a well-known professor, fair man of middle age with a peaceful look, practicing yoga or meditation, has had some occult experiences and desires the mystery to be unraveled by the master. He has written a book and had it published by Messrs. Longmans, Green and Company of London. He finds self-realization hard to attain and requires the master's help. His question: the Upanishadic method of meditation has now disappeared. There was a great sage in Bengal who instructed me in it. After long years of discipline and practice, I am having some mystic experiences. I feel sometimes that Bhuma, Supreme Consciousness, is infinitude and that I am finite consciousness. Is that correct? Maharshi, Bhuma, perfection, alone is. It is infinite. There arises from it this finite consciousness taking on a limiting adjunct. This is abhasa or reflection. Merge this individual consciousness into the Supreme One. That is what should be done. Devotee, perfection is an attribute of Supreme Consciousness. Maharshi, perfection is the Supreme. Where one does not see any other, hears nothing, it is perfection. It is indefinable and indescribable. It is as it is. Devotee, there is a vastness experienced. Probably it is just below Bhuma, but close to it. Am I right? Maharshi, Bhuma, perfection, alone is. Nothing else. It is the mind which says all this. Devotee, transcending the mind, I feel the vastness. Maharshi, yes, yes. The professor turned to the lady seated just a little further away from him and interpreted in Hindi to her. She asks, "What is the difference between meditation and distraction?" Maharshi, "No difference. When there are thoughts, it is distraction. When there are no thoughts, it is meditation. However, meditation is only practice. as distinguished from the real state of peace. She asks, how to practice meditation? Maharshi, keep off thoughts. She asks, how to reconcile work with meditation? Maharshi, who is the worker? Let one who works ask the question. You are always the self. You are not the mind. It is the mind which raises these questions. Work proceeds always in the presence of the self only. Work is no hindrance to realization. It is the mistaken identity of the worker that troubles one. Get rid of the false identity. The professor asked, is not the state of non-consciousness close to infinite consciousness? Maharshi, consciousness alone remains, and nothing more. Devotee, Sri Bhagavan's silence is itself a powerful force. It brings about a certain peace of mind in us. Maharshi, silence is never-ending speech. Vocal speech obstructs the other speech of silence. In silence, one is in intimate contact with the surroundings. The silence of Dakshinamurti removed the doubts of the four sages. Truth expounded by silence. Silence is said to be exposition. Silence is so potent. For vocal speech, organs of speech are necessary, and they precede speech. But the other speech lies even beyond thought. It is, in short, transcendent speech, or unspoken word, paravak. Devotee, is there knowledge in realization? Maharshi, absence of knowledge is sleep. There is knowledge in realization, but this knowledge differs from the ordinary one of the relation of subject and object. It is absolute knowledge. Knowledge has two meanings, one, literal meaning, and two, secondary significance. Devotee, with literal meaning, one sees knowledge. Maharshi, quite so. He also confounds literal meaning with knowledge. Vritti, or literal meaning, is a mode of mind. You are not the mind. You are beyond it. The lady asks, there is sometimes an irresistible desire to remain in Brahma Akara Vritti. Maharshi, it is good. It must be cultivated until it becomes sahaj, natural. Then it culminates as swarupa, one's own self. Later, Sri Bhagavan explained, vritti is often mistaken for consciousness. It is only a phenomenon and operates in the region of reflected consciousness. The knowledge lies beyond relative knowledge and ignorance. It is not in the shape of vritti. There are no subject and object in it. Vritti belongs to the rajasic active mind. The sattvic mind, that is mind in repose, is free from it. The sattvic is the witness of the rajasic. It is, no doubt, true consciousness. Still, it is called sattvic mind because the knowledge of being witness is the function of reflected consciousness only. Mind is the abhasa. Such knowledge implies mind. But the mind is by itself inoperative. Therefore, it is called sattvic mind. Such is the jiva mukta's, one who is liberated while alive's, state. It is also said that his mind is dead. Is it not a paradox that a jiva mukta has a mind and that it is dead? This has to be conceded in argument with ignorant folk. It is also said that Brahman is only the Jiva Mukta's mind. How can one speak of him as Brahmavid, knower of Brahman? Brahman can never be an object to be known. This is, however, in accordance with common parlance. Sattvic mind is surmised of the Jiva Mukta and of Ishwara. Otherwise, they argue, how does the Jiva Mukta live and act? The sattvic mind has to be admitted as a concession to argument. The sattvic mind is, in fact, the absolute consciousness. The object to be witnessed and the witness finally merge together, and absolute consciousness alone reigns supreme. It is not a state of blank or ignorance. It is the Swarupa, real self. Some say that mind arises from consciousness followed by reflection. Others say that the reflection arises first, followed by the mind. In fact, both are simultaneous. The professor asked Sri Bhagavan to extend his grace to him, although he would soon be 1,000 miles off. Sri Bhagavan said that time and space are only concepts of mind. But Swarupa, the real self, lies beyond mind, time, and space. Distance does not count in the self. The lady with him was most reluctant to leave the master and return home. The master said, "Think that you are always in my presence. That will make you feel right." They left after dusk. Talk number 69. There were reports of the above said professor's university lectures in the Hindu, a newspaper. The lecturer had emphasized the necessity for birth control and discussed the various possibilities of making the man feel his responsibilities so that birth control might be automatic. The master, on hearing it, casually remarked, "Let them find out the method of dying." Here death refers to that of the ego.